The anti-Bush press makes terrorist.
Their interests are not your interests. Their truth is not your truth. The corporations have their media. Now we have ours. The Progressive Podcast Network.
Welcome to Wake Up AM. Wake Up
America. Now we are the media. Listen to your media. Take your country back. Go to newmediarevolution.org. The Progressive Podcast Network.
NewMediaRevolution.org.
You're listening to Watch It Burn with Godless Kinzer. But then, you knew that, I'm sure. I mean, it's a podcast. You had to download it. All right, admit it. Some of y'all thought I got shut down, didn't you? Oh, but rest assured, no matter what happens, no matter what anybody tries to do, I'm going to get the word out. You're going to hear it. You thought I was gone, huh?
Are you?
That's right, I'm back, and I'm here to stay.
Stay alive! No matter what, I will find you!
Oh, man, it feels good to be back, you guys. You don't know just how much I enjoy doing this show for y'all. And I have a bunch of people I want to thank before we get into some pretty weighty stuff. I found some really good stuff in the interim while I've been gone. I haven't been neglecting you guys. It's just that I've had guard duty for the last couple days. Had a few days where my internet connection was kind of buggy, so I wasn't getting all the research done that I could. Had almost a week that I didn't even get a copy of the Stars and Stripes because they were all out at the Chow Hall when I finally got over there. So in response to all the queries and questions and whatnot, the interrogation I have received via email from y'all, I'm going to address a few of you. Brian, in Ireland, I have no way of explaining the religiosity of the U.S. It baffles me that a country of such amazing scientific achievement and innovation throughout its short history is so easily swayed by superstition. And in a similar vein, James in Nashville, the whole civil unions thing and the question of incest, I thought to myself, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot Bible. But the more I thought about it, started thinking, well, you know, if it's between two consenting adults who have the mental capacity to make reasoned decisions for themselves, and it is mutually consenting, then I have no right to deny them their happiness. I can disapprove of it and think it's pretty freaking strange and possibly even disgusting, but I guess I kind of go along with the philosophy of, was it Bentham that said that the ultimate ideal was the greatest good for the greatest number, the greatest happiness for the greatest number, something to that effect. And I believe that it's not my place to tell people who they can and can't love, and it's not my place to tell somebody who they can or cannot enter into a contract with. I believe in rights for everyone, regardless of their beliefs, their lack of beliefs, or what they intend to do with it, as long as it is between consenting adults. And that's the thing, consent is the key here. I'm not talking about the whole thing with, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, if we legalize gay marriage, then people are going to be marrying animals and molesting children and all that. And, you know, it's just a load of bullshit, you know, because allowing civil unions between same-sex couples does not throw out consent laws. It's as simple as that. Anyway, to move on from that one, because I've got a lot of people to thank. Kelly, thanks for the link to the Frontline documentary, or the Frontline article, whatever it is. I still haven't got a chance to look at it because, well, quite frankly, I get easily distracted. Shiny objects, wow, it's all over. I can't stay on topic. Phil from the Aussie Posse, thanks for the email. Nope, I have not been shut down, as you are hearing now. On the subject of Tim Tams, oh man. The place where I used to order my Vegemite from, which I have not been able to access for some reason. I guess my connection from here is doing weird things and they're not accepting it. The page won't load. But they have a monthly drawing where they give out a hamper of like I think it's either 1 or 1.5 kilos of various Tim Tams. And yeah, I've been wanting to get that. Been wanting to win that sucker. But thanks for listening, buddy. Let me see who else. Rob Steele. Sorry I haven't been able to respond back to you. It's been getting crazy work-wise here. For those of you who don't know, Rob Steele was a member of my old unit when we were in Iraq the first time and in Afghanistan. And great guy. And so Rob, just can say, man, keep up the big work. Fist in the air, brother. Oh, and you might want to check out what else is going on with the LT there. Thankyoult.org. I got an email on the 23rd that Lieutenant Aaron Watada had refused illegal orders and had not gone on to McCord Air Force Base to board a plane to deploy to Iraq. He is now, as of the last I heard, which was about a week ago, that email from his attorney, apparently he is being held under a gag order to not speak to any civilians. So I'm wondering if that includes his civilian attorney. I don't know yet. Haven't gotten any kind of update on that. Christian from Documentally.com, my wife got the package. Thank you very much. And in the email where you mentioned your other domain, cool, I'll keep that in mind. John in Madison, Wisconsin knew that in episode 12 the banjo player was Steve Martin. So good on you, John. Thanks for listening, buddy. I hope I can keep entertaining you. Gregory in Alaska, one of my longtime fans and a dedicated listener. Right on, buddy. Jackie, thanks for the kudos. It's cool that you're another fan of Dave Rabbit, too. And actually, I'd like to let everybody know, if they don't already, that Dave Rabbit also is doing a podcast. It's, so far, he has just taken his old show, the one surviving recording of his show from Vietnam, and he's broken it down into parts and is putting them up as podcasts so you can easily, you know, listen to them. And it's one word, daverabbit.podomatic.com. Another member of Podomatic, like myself, and Bill Alvarez from Florida Soapbox. Doubter 5, I have your questions, and it's an amazing, great thing that you've done, putting them all together. And, oh man, you know, I have a brain like a maze. Things get lost in there so easily. I have not gotten around to recording something I can put on there as a response and my answers to the questions as well. But to anybody that wants to go see them, you can go to digitalfreethought.com and look for Answers to Religious Questions. It's a really excellent explanation of atheism and rationalism and free thought and how basically the similarities that most of us atheists have, the kind of is the definition of atheism and what we think on various religious questions. It's about 26 megs, it's about 35 minutes long, and it's really an excellent listen, so you get a little better understanding of us and know that we're not just a bunch of freaking baby-eating Satan worshippers. Patrick emailed me, oh geez, back on the 15th, I'm sorry, it got lost in the shuffle, buddy. But yeah, I've seen your site, and as I emailed you, you know, hilarious, keep it up. And with your response there, I'm glad to hear that you appreciate what I'm doing. And your secret's safe with me, bud. Who else do I have on here to thank? Fess. Fessler, I hope you are listening to the show. You might have found it by now. You know, I'm going to email you before I post this. I'll email you so you can listen to this, and hopefully you'll catch up on the rest of the show if you haven't already heard of it from the other guys. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. And that said, I'd like to go on to mention that if there are any other active duty or Iraq and Afghanistan, or Iraq and or Afghanistan vets, I should say, out there listening, if you go to IAVA.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, formerly known as Operation Truth, you can find a feature that they've put up there called TroopNet. It's troopnet.iava.org. It's a service kind of like Friendster, where you can sign up on there and get a hold of old buddies or meet new people that are also Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. You can sign up if you're active duty. Just because they say they're a veterans organization doesn't mean that you can't. But if you are currently on active duty still, remember to stay in your lane. Don't discuss OPSEC matters. You know, just basically, you know the deal. But they have some amazingly cool features. Like, you are able to sort you're able to search for friends by various categories, including types of wounds. So if you are wounded and a casualty, you can find people who are facing similar problems to yours and are going through the same thing, and you can build a support community from that, which I think is just a wonderful, wonderful thing that Lieutenant Reich, or no longer Lieutenant, excuse me, that Paul Rykoff, the founder and executive director, the things that he has his group putting together for us are great. And, Richard, I almost forgot you. Richard reminds me of Free Thought Radio from the Freedom From Religion Foundation is actually up now. They have a weekly podcast, and that's really cool. I had let my subscription to Free Thought Today, the magazine of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, I had let it lapse, unfortunately, and I will be probably throwing out some money to get that back. I had forgotten all about it, but now that I know that they're out there, I'm going to go ahead and listen to them again. And anybody else that wants to know how we atheists think on various issues, you can go to ffrf.org and look for their Free Thought Radio podcast. It's actually a radio program, apparently, but you can get it as a podcast. They have a feature called Atheists in Foxholes that is about guys like me. And another place you can hear stories about atheists in foxholes is at maaf.info, the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers. There's a lot of us out there. And that old expression, there are no atheists in foxholes, is quite frankly a load of crap that is used to minimize and trivialize our service, kind of dismiss us. And I don't think she's listening to this, and I would hope that maybe she wouldn't, because it's kind of, I get kind of rough with my language sometimes, but Ava Lowry, 15-year-old from, she's the web mistress of the site peacetakescourage.com. I'm sure some of you out there, some of my regular listeners, are of a liberal bent, as I am. Many of you are, I'm sure, from the fact that I get so many hits from other members, from people coming from other members' podcasts on our network here, the Progressive Podcast Network at newmediarevolution.org, that I know that a lot of you have heard of her work and the videos she has put together that basically point out the immorality and the horror and just the sheer vileness of war and its results. So you can, if you haven't seen her stuff, you're not familiar with her stuff, very powerful, very moving, and it just amazes me that it's coming from a 15-year-old, and it really does restore a lot of my faith in the next generation. And she has emailed me back in response to a comment I left on her site, and it's just nice to hear from her. I saw her on CNN, I believe it was, a clip, and she has got a great head on her shoulders. She really does. She's a smart kid. And I wish her all the best. More power to her in the future. And that's it. I think that's just about everything that I had to cover as far as the thanks and all that. So I'm going to go ahead and hit our first break here. Yeah, that was... Okay, I covered that one. Oh, wait, no. Reverend X-Ister. If you guys have not heard his show, go to bulldada.podomatic.com and listen to Cut and Paste Radio. It is brilliantly put together, and I just have to say, it'll make you scream, Kali Yuga, the butthole shall be untimely clipped. And if you don't know what that means, if you've never heard that at all before, you won't completely get what he's doing. But some of you out there will. Some of you are members of our species. Alright, welcome back everybody. I've got some really interesting audio I stripped off of a video that I saw at YouTube. And if you want to check it out yourself, go to YouTube, and the video is called Iraq, the Truth, with a question mark. And, I don't know, really interesting audio. This video was made sometime shortly after the 2004 presidential election, judging by some of the things that the gentleman on there is saying. And I'm going to leave it up to you to make your judgment on the accuracy or truthfulness of the statements made on the video. But I just thought it was really interesting to hear this point of view coming from an Iraqi resistance militia member as the source.
People of America, we wish to share with you our thoughts on the events we experienced, as well as what the future may bear. And despite the madness we have endured and still, we see no harm in presenting you with a criminal nature of your newly re-elected emperor. Despite our belief that the elections were flawed, we know now that when there is a close tie between the candidates, there is something wrong. Some in our ranks believe that any candidate from any side of the spectrum are two faces of the same coin. You, the people, have said your word in what is claimed to be a democracy, and thus have chosen a leader who claims to represent your vision. It is your right to lead the world, as it is the right of any nation which chooses to do so. Yet this does not allow you to conquer others. There is a belief of a large number of our people that a lot of the facts do not reach you. Facts that may be classified as unsuitable for the general public. Facts that are twisted to gain a positive image here or there. Nothing new to an emperor who represents deception, lies, crimes, half-victories, and total defeats. Your administration, time after time, lied and presented you with achievements directed by Hollywood and performed in Iraq. You have elected these criminals, and thus you are responsible for their actions. We hope that your future decisions will be based on reason and belief, for your emperor tomorrow will mirror the image of America to the world, and by his actions will your empire be measured. For the first time in history, a mafia of the weapons plants represented by Bush, oil companies represented by Dick Cheney, and the Zionists represented by Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Perle hijacked the United States of America in an ingenious plan to control the world. This type of administration is exactly what Benjamin Franklin once warned of. By weakness and ignorance, you have allowed this gang of criminals to hijack your country, create a new phobia to recruit those whom they regard as nothing but fuel and vehicles to their master plan. This administration will enforce on you, just as it tries to enforce on our people, new laws that will result in a police state similar to those your consecutive governments back in our region. Legislation will soon be drafted by the appointed puppets to allow foreign ownership of land and structure, and soon our people will be the foreigners on the land of their forefathers. This new world order will enslave people of all religions and race, and soon your children, as well as ours, if they survive, will truly live in a planet of apes. And with a reduced population for ease of control, this can only be the implementation of a plan once presented by Henry Kissinger. This world has not yet seen an empire which constitutes in its prime objectives the destruction and genocide of whole populations and societies, only to control the energy resources of this planet. Your representatives and their media have portrayed an image that an insurgency is in effect and that it is led by elements of foreign fighters entering from Syria and neighboring countries. Yet we assure you, this is only a continuation of what Bush once claimed, mission accomplished. This resistance movement was prepared for and is only the second chapter of this war, and we are mostly, if not all Iraqis, proud Iraqis, who kept their oath to defend people and country. And because this war may last longer than what the invaders anticipated, we have all promised to make their stay long, costly, and painful. Blaming other countries is nothing but creating new pretexts to invade other sovereign states and back future expeditions. They have made our country a battlefield to settle accounts with elements of Al-Qaeda, formerly dear allies and partners. They have also created new phobias to justify their continued presence, despite their loss of this war. For the general media, we call on them to think about what they declare and not fear death and imprisonment. Do not fall into the traps prepared by those who pull the strings from Tel Aviv. As for the declared casualties, this is an epic on its own. We assure you that the figures are far higher than they declare. It is not a secret today in Iraq what we call the green card soldiers. Young men from South America and other parts of the world gathered and promised the U.S. citizenship and large sums of cash for their mercenary services in Iraq. They are always on the front lines, and their casualty figures are never declared. They are hidden in unmarked graves and dumped into rivers under the cover of moonless nights, some of which the resistance has provided evidence of. There are also a large number of security contractors who are not listed as military personnel. To us, it is one thing to be tricked into this war, but it is totally different to come here and fight someone else's war. After the failed American elections in Iraq, they will now play the sectarian card. They are already sending their mercenaries to destroy churches and mosques alike in order to prepare the ground for civil war. They will train more and more local traitors to conduct police operations and detention raids on anyone who does not accept democracy performed at the muzzle of a barrel. The local mercenaries will also act as sandbags to their masters when we choose to strike. The non-conduct of your troops has also taken its toll on our people. It has created resentment and disgust. They dismiss these war crimes as isolated cases, yet the figures are always on the rise. What's more, our scandals of Abu Ghraib, Khalqa, and the use of chemical weapons on Fallujah, and only God knows what's to come. Life under dictatorship is far more safer than behind the bars of your democracy. Have you not asked yourself, where are the weapons of mass destruction? And where are the links between our previous government and the once CIA-sponsored Al-Qaeda? Or is that all now a thing of the past? What happened to the thousands of people who died and continue to die of cancer? Women who give birth to deformed babies caused by the effect of your military's depleted uranium shells? Since 1990, thousands on both sides of the conflict have suffered unknown injuries. Many have died since then, and others lack medical attention. Large parts of Iraq will be radioactive for millions of years to come. And if we were to return this radiating material to the U.S. and Britain, we would be no different than those who use them. May we ask you, why do you think the British government decided to set foot only in the areas of the South, where the resistance is still partially active? They have left the difficult areas for your boys to suffer. This deal was accepted by your government only to form a purely cosmetic alliance with a nation that still strives for the glory of its imperial past. They have turned the land of the free into a camp of capitalist slavery, and then changed the home of the brave into a printing house for papers they call dollars, and guarded it with enormous military might. This administration, which claims that you have re-elected, has brought on more humiliation and insults to each and every one of you than any other government in your short yet tremendous history. And as odd as it may seem, we advise you to take matters in your own hands and rid this world of such criminals or any form of government which resembles the neocons in their aims. Form a third party if need be. Appoint those who resist preemptive war as true representatives of the people before it is too late. And if demonstrations and protests are not heard, use and protect what is left of your constitution and correct matters by force. This world awaits your move. Today these words may seem strange, but we believe that a nation which once gave the world John F. Kennedy, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Hughes and Henry Ford will not fall short of giving true leaders of substance and dignity. This war has taught us that one man on the field can change the outcome of a day. One man who believes in true freedom can do what nations put together dare think of. We share these thoughts with great honesty to those of you who spent days and nights trying to prevent this war, timeless efforts to prevent this real Holocaust. To all of you we say, thank you for your time.
Well, there you have it. Take it as you will.
If you knew what they they were saying when they think you cannot hear. If you understood what they do it for you, it was so clear. If you knew they shut down the factory in an economic ruse. If you could kiss the cheek of the child in the sweatshop that made your shoes. Every time we went to war to fight our evil foes, they told you we were really fighting for the good of CEOs. If you could feel the hunger of the many, see the riches of the few. If they told it like it is, what if you knew?
What if you knew that 5.5 years ago a coup took place in the United States of America, and through a combination of illegally removing legitimate voters from registration lists, hacking of voting machines, illegal removal of legal ballots, not counting legal ballots, illegally counting ballots in counties that favored one candidate, yet applying the strict standards and the actual law to counties that were in favor of the other candidate, and any number of other tactics designed to minimize the number of voters showing up at the polls of certain ethnic groups or economic classes. Now, we've already seen from Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s article in Rolling Stone that those type of things were happening in Ohio in 2004. And that should have been bad enough to cause us to do something. It should have been, the only response should have been outrage that something like this had been done to our Constitution and to our people. That it happened 4 years earlier in Florida and yet was allowed to happen again should disgust us all. It should anger us so much that we are only restraining ourselves from violence because we know that violence begets violence. And that it is not the proper solution, unless we know that it is the only valid option remaining. I have a copy of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy by Greg Palast that I bought in Shannon, Ireland on the way back here from leave. And I had heard about the book. I had heard about some of the shady doings in Florida in 2000. And I did not realize just how blatant and how bad it was. And what had been done to us, the American people. Now, I don't know what else to say about the subject because the evidence is so clear in both cases, in 2000 and 2004, that a coup took place, that a usurpation of the authority, a usurpation of the office of the president had taken place, and that the current occupant of the White House is proven to be an enemy of the United States Constitution is well documented. Hostility to the First Amendment in the form of allowing the creation of so-called free speech zones where legitimate protesters who are acting on their First Amendment rights to speak freely and to petition their government for redress of grievances are forced into chain-link fenced areas where they can speak freely in the free speech zones. And my reading of the Constitution and everything I have been taught in my life is that the United States of America is a free speech zone. Hostility to the Second Amendment in the form of allowing executive branch contractors with private security firms in New Orleans to confiscate firearms from law-abiding citizens who wish to keep them for personal defense in a situation that was so chaotic and crazy that they had every right to fear for their lives. Every right to possess the means to defend themselves if necessary. Hostility to the Fourth Amendment in the form of support of the Patriot Act and its anti-privacy provisions, as well as the authorization of an illegal program to conduct domestic surveillance without warrant, as the Constitution requires. Hostility toward the Ninth and Tenth Amendments in the promotion of a constitutional amendment to prohibit marriage rights from being exercised by all Americans of age who consent to marry a partner of their choice, as well as hostility toward the rights of the states as defined in the Constitution by appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court to trump state election laws in Florida as the first example, when the state Supreme Court in Florida ruled that their vote was going to be counted one way and it did not favor the current occupants, despite the fact that so much fraud had been already done that even that was not enough to guarantee the election for them, they still needed to go and make an end run to the Supreme Court to trump states' rights. Hostility towards Article 6 of the Constitution by violating the terms of the Geneva Conventions, the UN Charter, and the Nuremberg Protocols by waging a war of aggression, a clear violation of international law, and thus, according to Article 6 of the Constitution, a violation of U.S. law. Hostility and violation of the 14th Amendment by making disparaging remarks about the credit of the United States, and any number of other issues where this executive branch has shown itself to be hostile to just the rule of law, as in the over 700 signing statements wherein Mr. Bush has declared that there are certain provisions of these laws that he will not enforce or uphold, though he has sworn to do so. The list goes on and on. There are so many reasons why the people should be in the streets right now. Is it pitchforks and torches time yet?
In a huge conspiracy, would you leave your suburbs, get out of your SUV? Would you hit the streets and fight for all our lives? Would you hold your ground when the stormtroopers arrive? If you knew that the whole planet depended on what you do now, would you take a man with the speed our times allow? If the pundits told the truth for just a week or two and real life was shown on TV, what if you knew?
Coalition kills more than 80 insurgents across Afghanistan. From the Associated Press, Stars and Stripes Mideast Edition, Sunday, June 25th. U.S.-led coalition said Saturday that its troops and Afghan forces had killed more than 80 militants in fighting across southern Afghanistan. In one case, insurgents used civilians as shields to escape. Coalition troops battled more than 40 extremists in a five-hour gun battle Friday in southern Oruzgan province, the military said in a statement. Most of the militants who were firing from positions in an orchard and compound were believed killed. Local Afghan commander General Rahmatullah Rufi said 22 Taliban fighters were killed during the Oruzgan battle, and another 18 were arrested. He said three coalition troops were slightly injured. Afghan and coalition forces battled militants in a separate assault in Kandahar province, killing about 25 during 3 hours of fighting. Also Friday, four insurgents were killed when Taliban forces fired rockets near coalition forces in Kandahar province, said coalition spokesman Major Quentin Innes. Coalition said that another 17 insurgents who had been setting up an ambush were killed when their bunker was destroyed in Uruzgan province on Wednesday. Coalition forces have launched a massive offensive against Taliban forces in a bid to stop a wave of suicide attacks and ambushes. More than 10,000 Afghan, British, Canadian, and American troops are deployed across Kandahar, Helmand, Uruzgan, and Zabul provinces, where Taliban forces have regrouped and gained some sympathy, strength and sympathy. So they're coming back. Some 200 insurgents have been killed since Operation Mountain Thrust got underway earlier this month. You know who they didn't mention? They didn't point out the fact that the French are in Afghanistan. That the French have been there in Afghanistan since October of 01, or early November. The French were there when I was there, in 02. And they love to try to say the French aren't helping us in the war on terror, which, as the president calls it, which... I don't know why he has to use the Latin. Why not just call it Earth? But anyway, as he wages his war on Terrans, the French had not been supportive of the war. Well, they weren't supportive of the war here or the occupation. And, you know, the way I see it is France is really the first friend America had in the world. They have been they're the longest we've ever had. We've had any ally. They're the longest ally we've ever had. And I see them telling us that we shouldn't get into the fight in Iraq. Like, you're out drinking with your buddy, and you get a little too drunk, too full of yourself, you know, full of piss and vinegar, and you see the guy down at the end of the bar who's, he's kind of looking at you, you know, giving you a stink eye, but he's not getting up or doing anything, and you think, you know, and you're all full of piss and vinegar, as I said, you think to yourself, well, fuck that guy. I'm gonna go fuck him up. He doesn't look that badass, you know, I can take him. And your buddy France says, dude, I don't think you want to get into this fight. You know, this guy might fight dirty. Think about it first. And that's what I see as what France did. And too many people in our country are going to be pissed off. Somebody would tell them, hey, dude, be careful. And so because France warned us, basically, and said, okay, dude, you want to go fight that guy, you're on your own. That there was such an uproar against France... that was just fucking stupid, that you know, we have legislators changing the name of fucking French fries to freedom fries. God, that's a bunch of fucking bullshit. Whoa, sorry, pardon my freedom. I'd like to read to you from a book published in 1975 by Robert Shea and Robert Anton Wilson. I was not quite 4 years old yet when this book was first published, but much of it remains as true today as it was then. The national debt, so-called, is of course nothing else but the debt we owe the bankers who, quote, loaned, unquote, this money to Uncle after he kindly gave them the credit which enabled them to make this loan. The system has but one advantage. It makes bankers richer every year. Nobody else, from the industrial capitalist or quote-unquote captain of industry to the coal miner, profits from it in any way, and all pay the taxes, which become the interest payments, which make the bankers richer. Every ideology is a mental murder, a reduction of dynamic living processes to static calculations, and every classification is a damnation, just as every inclusion is an exclusion. In a busy, buzzing universe where no two snowflakes are identical, and no two trees are identical, and no two people are identical, and indeed the smallest subatomic particles we are assured is not even identical to itself from one microsecond to the next. Every card index system is a self-delusion. Quote, or to put it more charitably, we are all better artists than we realize, as Nietzsche says. It is easier to see that the label Jew was a damnation in Nazi Germany, but actually the label Jew is a damnation anywhere, even where anti-Semitism does not exist. He is a Jew, he is a doctor, and he is a poet mean to the card indexing center of the cortex, that my experience with him will be like my experience with other Jews, other doctors, and other poets. Thus, individuality is ignored when identity is asserted. At a party or any place where strangers meet, watch this mechanism in action. Behind the friendly overtures, there is wariness as each person fishes for the label that will identify and damn the other. Finally, it is revealed. Oh, he's an advertising copywriter. Oh, he's an engine lathe operator. Both parties relax, for now they know how to behave, what roles to play in the game. 99% of each has been damned. The other is reacting to the 1% that has been labeled by the card index machine. It seems at first glance that authority could not exist at all if all men were cowards, or if no men were cowards, but flourishes as it does only because most men are cowards and some men are thieves. Actually, the inner dynamics of cowardice and submission on the one hand, and of heroism and rebellion on the other, are seldom consciously realized either by the ruling class or the servile class. Submission is identified not with cowardice, but with virtue, rebellion not with heroism, but with evil. To the Roman slave owners, Spartacus was not a hero, and the obedient slaves were not cowards. Spartacus was a villain, and the obedient slaves were virtuous. The obedient slaves believed this also. The obedient always think of themselves as virtuous rather than cowardly. The Charge of the Light Brigade. The story of a group of young males led to their death in a palpably idiotic situation, and only because they obeyed a senseless order without stopping to think, has been and remains a popular poem, because unthinking obedience by young males to older males is the most highly prized of all conditioned reflexes within humans and hominid societies. What would you think of a man who not only kept an arsenal in his own home, but was collecting at enormous financial sacrifice a second arsenal to protect the first one? What would you say if this man so frightened his neighbors that they in turn were collecting weapons to protect themselves from him? What if this man spent 10 times as much money on his expensive weapons as he did on the education of his children? What if one of his children criticized his hobby and he called that child a traitor and a bum and disowned him? And he took another child who had obeyed him faithfully and armed that child and sent it out into the world to attack neighbors? What would you say about a man who introduces poisons into the water he drinks and the air he breathes? What if this man is not only feuding with the people on his block, but involves himself in the quarrels of others in distant parts of the city and even in the suburbs? Such a man would surely be a paranoid schizophrenic with homicidal tendencies.
Another night
kind of jumping through my ass here at work. I am currently on a short break while I wait for somebody to remove a major component of the aircraft so I can get some of my work done in that area where it would be. With the piece still in, I can't get my tools to fit into the area I need. And as you can hear, a lot of background noise, air compressor going and all that outside. I have some guys from another unit that are assisting, but they have a different shift time than I do, so they're done before the end of my shift. It's almost like I'm never going to get this damn thing put together and posted, but thinking I'll probably just cut this short, make it only like about a 40-minute episode or something, just so... Well, we got so many people in our network now at the Progressive Podcast Network at newmediarevolution.org that we have problems with just too much to listen to. So I'm thinking that I'm going to start scaling this back again to try going to maybe a 30-35 minute show twice a week so that people have a little bit more time to listen to all of us. And I think I can get out enough information in 30 minutes if I kind of not go quite in-depth and try to keep from digressing and rambling as much as I do. So I'm going to call it the end of this one because my buddy next door here, he's been trying to get me to get this done because he wants to hear it. He loves the show, and I would encourage you to go to check out his blog at MySpace. He's Rain Cloud Rex, as in, you know, Little Black Rain Cloud, our terminal cynic here who keeps us in perspective. He shows us that behind every silver lining there's a dark cloud, so we don't get too too optimistic about things. Basically, he's the guy that keeps us from getting overly hopeful about things that are beyond our control. Well, anyway, I'm going to call it quits for this week, and so I can finally get this thing to get reviewed and then approved to put on the net. So if you want to comment on anything you've heard, go ahead and email me at watchitburn, one word, at godlesskinzer, KINSER.com, or you can leave a message at 1-888-82-REVOLT. It's a toll-free number in the U.S. Just leave a short voicemail, give me your first name and your city, and leave your message. I will go ahead and play it on the show here. I will address any issues that you bring up as soon as I possibly can and as soon as I remember to. And if you'd like to support the program, if you go to my website, to my blog at godlesskinzer.com, KINSER, as always, you will see on the right sidebar an Amazon Honor System pay box. You can go ahead and click on there if you feel like donating. And make any amount that you want in the donation box there. Every amount is appreciated. Or if you feel like supporting me in other ways, you can go ahead and buy some t-shirts or whatnot, comics, games, whatever, from the people that are supporting my website. I get a very, very small commission on an infrequent basis from that. And I am working on a new design for t-shirts to reflect the podcast and not just the blog. So if you enjoy the blog and you'd like one of the t-shirts, they're available at Cafe Press through the link on my right sidebar there. And go ahead and check out my wife's blog, too. She's writing a little bit, kind of infrequent, because right now she's on vacation. And her mother only that she's staying with only has dial-up. But she's been posting here and there on how her and the boys, our sons, are doing over there, back home in beautiful Oregon. Beautiful liberal Oregon. Some people still have some sense in our country. Well, I'm going to call that the end of it. So take care of yourselves and watch your six, everybody.
When the Führer says, "Wie ist der Master Race?" Wie heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace. So wie heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. When Herr Goebbels says, "We own the world in space," we heil, heil, right in Herr Goebbels' face. When Herr Göring says, "They'll never bomb this place," we heil, heil, right in Herr Göring's face. Are we not the Superman? Aryan pure Superman.
Yeah, we are the Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. Even we could.
We bring the world new order. I'll hit this world new order.
Everyone of foreign race will love the Führer's face when we bring to the world disorder.
When the Führer says we is the master race, we heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace. So we heil, heil, right in the Führer's